Well, the gentleman, Mark Letestu, of course, a longtime NHLer, played over 567 NHL games. Of course, had maybe his best playoff stretch ever as a member of the Edmonton Oilers for his hometown team when he had 5 goals, 11 points in 13 games in the playoffs for the Oilers. Funny enough, they haven't been officially in the playoffs since. Mark Letestu joins us. He announced his retirement earlier this year. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, it's always good to catch up with you. And we kind of do story time version a little bit. You know, a lot of people know of your NHL career. But to get there, everybody has a unique path. You were born in Elk Point. But so where did you play your minor hockey?
I played right in Elk Point until I was probably 16, so all the way through the Bantam draft and starting into midget. And then a little bit of, I guess it's kind of a rural AAA, more of a AA league. In Cold Lake, and then to Junior B, the St. Paul Canadians, and then Bonnyville to Western Michigan to the NHL. So I really, just about any town in the Lakeland area, I probably played with them at one point or another.
So let's talk a little about your time in Junior B. How did that become the right stop for Mark Letestu?
Well, my boss at the time, Al Bremer, he owned the sports store in St. Paul. He coached me in minor hockey. He was a junior B coach. And, it was just one of those things where I thought maybe preparing myself for junior A hockey to play against some older guys, bigger bodies, get used to it. And he was a coach that I'd had familiarity with, and he worked with me, helped me understand the game a little bit. But it certainly wasn't a development move that I was thinking this is the best way to the NHL. It's not the path normally chosen. It was just more something short term, thinking more junior A preparation than anything, and it probably did help me making that transition.
Now, when you were playing in that league, was you had St. Paul, there's Lloyd Minster. Did you guys play Saddle Lake?
Absolutely, that's rivalry. That's big time rivalry because they normally recruit well with the big Junior B dollars. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was a first round matchup, which we handled them pretty good. We only lost 3 games that year, so it was a good year for us. But that's a big rivalry. The Saddle Lake Flu comes up quite a bit when guys want to make that trip because it's usually a tough game.
Dude, I can tell you, yeah. We played an exhibition game there, and our coach, because he was worried about their physicality, only brought 9 forwards and 4 defensemen, and there turned out to be a brawl that didn't go very well. Like, probably the worst coaching decision ever. And so you're 16 years old. You lit it up that year. You had 22 goals, 63 points in 36 games, almost a 2-point-a-game player. You're like the Connor McDavid of the NEA Junior B League up there in Northern Alberta.
Yeah, that's a stretch, but I'll take the compliment.
So, you know, when you go and you're playing that level and, you know, you're putting up so many numbers, do you think that kind of impacts you further on? Because I'm guessing you're on the ice a ton and you're kind of doing what you want at the puck. Did that help you kind of, you know, just that foster that confidence rather than maybe playing somewhere where you wouldn't have been putting up those same numbers?
No, I think that's part of it. I think you learn to be the guy maybe who's relied on to score big goals or big moments on the ice at big times. You're controlling the power play. You're looked at to score points. So you start to, you know, when you're in those situations, you learn to kind of handle that pressure. It certainly served me well, you know, moving to junior A and eventually assuming that role. And then again, at Western Michigan, I think it's easier to slide those shoes on for different teams when you've worn them in different places. Sometimes it's unfair to ask other guys that maybe haven't been in those roles to take on them. And you know, sometimes they crumble. So yeah, for me to play those roles, it probably helped on the way up.
Who was your coach in Bonnyville?
Jeff Pister was my coach in Bonnyville.
He
recruited me. He was there, and then the year after would have been my last year. They let him go and transitioned to Chad Mercier, and now Rick Swann, who has them, you know, as a contender and an organization, graduating kids on the college pretty regularly now.
Well, Mark, I actually, first time I saw you play was as a member of the Pontiacs because I was doing the games for AnySportAnytime.com back then, calling Junior A games. And I actually always remember the Bonneville rink just because I love the vantage point for the broadcast booth right at center ice, and it was super close. There wasn't a lot of, it wasn't a high stand, so you were right on top of the action. And I think that was the year you had 86 points in 04-05, and then the next year you followed up with 100. When did you get confirmation or even interest from Western Michigan that you were going to go play NCAA?
Yeah, it would have been that 19-year-old year, the year of 86 points. The year before, I just really wasn't ready and didn't do a lot of things, obviously, that stuck out to college teams. But that was the year where I'd kind of taken a step, started to play a little bit more offensively, trying to just trust in my ability. And that was the year I had committed to go to college, but I decided to defer a year, basically just because I wasn't in a hurry. You know, we had some things in Bonneville that we wanted to accomplish that at the time were pretty important to me. You know, I don't think we'd won a playoff series. Couldn't get past Fort Mac, and the year I stuck around, couldn't get past them either. But it was fun. I got to play with my brother. So there was no thought of getting to college as soon as possible to move on. It was just one of those things where I was going to go and play my 4 years, get my degree, and start working.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that team your last year. There were some really tough guys like Kalinske and Roulette and Jessup and Statham. Could you pretty much say or do whatever you wanted on that team when you have that many, you know, animals floating around you?
Absolutely. That's part of that. That's part of that league. You're tough enough. You got the skill, and you surround them with tough guys. But we always played in that North Division where there was always, it was rugged hockey. We didn't seem to graduate a lot of kids on the college, like the southern parts of the divisions. Kind of played that heavy, heavy hockey. Yeah, I didn't have to fight too often, that's for sure.
So, Mark, then you go to Western Michigan. And, you know, he had a really good season, 24 goals, 46 points as a, you know, a rookie in Western Michigan in 37 games. And you left right after. Like, it's rare to be one and done at college. You mentioned that when you went there, you were thinking, I'm going to go for 4 years. And you weren't even really thinking pro hockey at that time. So at what point of that season in Western Michigan did all of a sudden, like, the idea of signing with the Penguins, like, when did that get approached to you?
It really started to begin kind of towards the end of the year. I had a good year all year, and my advisor at the time had just kind of thrown it out there, said there's some teams kind of sniffing around, wanting to know if maybe you'd leave school. And at the time, you're really overwhelmed with it. You know, it's the NHL. I was never thinking of being in that conversation. See, somebody calls you and tells you, you know, that steps that close, it kind of gets overwhelming. So it played out the rest of the year and finished really strong. And, because I took my time getting there, I was pretty old for freshmen. I was 21. I was older than one of the seniors on our team, the only freshman that can legally drink. Like, there was a lot of things that being 21 and a rookie, I wasn't your typical rookie. So to get an offer right away, it just made sense. It made sense being older to, if I was going to give it a shot in pro hockey, to move then. And because of my age, I got a second year on the contract. If I wait another year, I only get 1 year. And after my first year pro, the second year probably saved me and kept me alive.
So what attracted you to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization?
Yeah, I only had really two options that were very serious was Pittsburgh and Colorado. And honestly, the reason I chose Pittsburgh is because Ray Shiro called me. He called me personally. I can remember being in the cafeteria, having to take a phone call. And, you know, you go and you talk to him, and he's talking to you about where you might fit down the road with Malkin and Staal and Crosby. And it was just, you know, I'm a college kid. I'm eating, you know, from the cafeteria trough, and then the GM of the Penguins is calling me. It's a little bit overwhelming. You come back and tell your buddies, and they're all happy for you. But I think it was just a personal gesture that the GM kind of went out of his way to call me and you know, pitch the team on me, that I was just kind of blown away with the way he just talked to me, and it just felt right then.
Mark Letestu joins us in Storytime on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You mentioned your first-year pro. You had a few games with the Wheeling Nailers, sick name, by the way, in the ECHL, and then with Wilkes-Barre in the AHL. And you didn't have a great year. Hey, turning pro is pretty tough. But you went from 6 goals and 18 points to then 24 goals and 61 points your next year with Wilkes-Barre. What was the difference, Mark? Did you train better in the offseason? Did you just need a year to kind of learn the pace? What was it that you could, you know, quadruple your goal totals and, you know, triple your point totals?
Yeah, I mean, I started training, basically, is what it came down to. I'd never really trained for hockey. I'd never had to. Junior A just kind of came easy to me. I remember going to Western Michigan and doing their fitness test with this two-mile run. You had to have it under 12 minutes, and I was second last. The backup goalie was the only guy that finished behind me to put up like a 15:30. And again, I did well with that. College, I could get away with it. Had enough skill and will to get through maybe the deficiencies I had in conditioning, and kind of rolled into my first training camp with the same body. And it caught up to me. I wasn't able to keep up. I wasn't able to adjust, and really wasn't able to adapt to, you know, a daily practice and a daily grind, and it affected me, and it was the one thing that I had to take to that summer and really start applying. It was a lesson in being a pro and how to take care of your body and just the training, and then the pace of things just seemed to come easier once you're conditioned enough to keep up. The rest, it just seemed to fall in place a little easier. I wasn't chasing it as much.
So you have to start working out. So, like, where do you start? Did you hire a trainer? Did you just go on YouTube, or you just stop having Slurpees? How did that work?
Well, I had to stop with the Slurpees. They were good, but no, it's one of those things where you talk to your agent. You know, he's got guys in the area that maybe work out somewhere where they've had whether it's just good results or a good rapport with a guy, and that's why I ended up with Barry Butt out of Premier Strength there in Edmonton at the curling club, Shamrock Curling Club, and spent a few years there with him trying to get my body ready for the actual grind of a pro hockey season, and he was a critical part to get me going in the right direction.
Mark, it's 2009, 2010. It's your third year in the AHL, and you get called up to Pittsburgh. Where was your first NHL game?
I was in Pittsburgh. I'd actually kind of got head faked one time. They'd flown me in to Columbus to actually play my first game, and it was a warm-up situation where Sid was kind of feeling under the weather, so I was in there and took warm-ups as a precaution, but he was good to go. So then I think it was a week later I got called to come in and play the Bruins at the old Igloo. I'm pretty sure the game ended 7-6 in overtime or a shootout or something. It was just a wild game, but it was really fun to be a part of it, and it felt like definitely a huge accomplishment.
You didn't say to Sid, like, hey, man, it's going to be my first game. You can't take one night off, big guy?
Yeah, it was I didn't want to be the guy that got called up and then never got another shot. So I had nightmares about that. Like, I had to get another shot. So I'm thankful I got it.
Yeah, that would be the worst, because you played Boston, then you played Anaheim two nights later, I looked up, then you went back down, then you got called up again in February, or I guess late January against Detroit, but then your fifth game, who did you score against the Sabres on February 1st, 2010?
Yeah, it was the first shift of the game. Tyler Kennedy gave me a nice little backdoor tap-in, Ryan Miller, so wearing the nice baby blues they had. I remember the goal itself not so clearly, but just I remember being hunched over on the bench, so out of breath from all the screaming and hugging, and you know, the emotions of it kind of catch you after you've scored. You're not thinking about it, but until it happens, there's just something about that moment. I'm sure every player or anybody that's ever had it happen, it's just it's never how you drew it up, but it seems like it's perfect when it does happen.
Yeah, only Jordan Eberle gets to do like an amazing first goal, right? The rest of us are just kind of ugly and in there. But it's funny because you score and you're so happy, I found, but you don't want to like go crazy. Like I want to smile and everyone's happy, but you also want to look like you're kind of cool. At least that's how I felt.
Yeah, you might have held it a lot better than me. I was a big grin that probably didn't come off for a while. I was over the moon.
Now playing with the Pittsburgh Penguins, you got to play with some amazing players as you did through your whole career. But what did you take away from the great Sid the Kid?
Well, I had Sid at kind of a unique time. I'm a rookie, but I'm 2 years older than him. He's been in the league though so long already. I'm pretty sure he's won a cup. He's probably won a Hart by then, and he's accomplished so much. So there's this weird dynamic in a locker room where even though he's younger than me, I don't really talk to him. I'm a rookie. I don't want to, touch his sock tape or be around his stick. Yeah. But the one thing I remember is how gracious he was. He kind of got rid of that nervousness, the eggshells you're walking on as a rookie, and he'd go out of his way to talk to you, make you feel welcome at home, include you in things. And I think he had the proper supporting cast around him to show him with some of the veteran guys we had, like Hal Gill and Bill Guerin, Pascal Dupuis, and, Jay McKee. There was just so many players there that did things the right way, and that was the one thing that I took from Sid. Being a guy that was younger than me, but so accomplished, he just did things the right way, seemingly all the time, in practices, in games, the way he treated the media, the way he treated fans, teammates. It was just a perfect room and an example for me to be in as a young player.
Mark Letestu joins us. And, Mark, you spent, of course, your first, four or five seasons of your career in Pittsburgh. Then you get dealt to Columbus early in the 2011-12 season. Walk me through that moment of, were you expecting a trade and kind of what happened when you got the call?
Yeah, no, I had a really tough start to that year. I had a really good rookie year with 14 goals. And then I just had a tough start. I think I had an assist through the first 11 games and really was having a tough time finding my footing. And we'd had pretty loaded down the center of the ice. All the guys were coming back from injuries from the year previous, so Sid and Malkin were coming back. Stahl was on his way back. And you could just tell there was going to be a shift one way or the other. And it's funny how these things work out. We had a team retreat where we were gone for 4 days, and we just finished a road trip, so I was hardly home and starting to hear about it a little bit. And true to form, the first day you're back from a long road trip, you get the call, and you're traded to Columbus. And she wasn't too happy about it because I hadn't been home, and now I'm going to a new city. And it was Scott Housen at the time was the GM told me you can either come tonight, it's a 3-hour drive, or you can come in the morning. So I said, well, I'll come in the morning, and you basically leave the house behind and you say, good luck, honey, I'll be in Columbus. So it was a little bit rough on her, but she learned quickly that the hockey life, the anchor can never really be too firmly put in the ground.
And you go to Columbus, and you mentioned you had a slow start in Pittsburgh, and I don't know if what it was, a few days off, a few practices, but your first game with the Blue Jackets, you scored, did you not?
Yeah, and I got a pass from Rick Nash from behind the net, and it always helps when somebody like that's giving you the pucks.
So, and right away, though, like that just, I'm sure there's nervousness, you've never been traded before. Now you go to a new organization and, you always want to feel and make a good impression. And Columbus is where you make your home now. It just seemed like everything was destined for you to have success in Columbus.
Yeah, the timing of it worked for me, too. Again, I'm not a guy coming with huge pedigree, but I had a good year the year before. And it's a rebuilding team, or a team that at the time was probably looked upon to do well. They just made the trade for Jeff Carter, signed Wisniewski, and then just came out of the gates flat. I think when I got there, they were coming off a 9-2 loss to Philly. Just went through one of those training camps in season where everybody's hating life and hating hockey. And so it was a tough locker room to come into, but there was just opportunity aplenty. I got to, like I said, I got to play with Rick. got to play with Vinny Prospel. I got to play with some really good players right off the bat and develop some confidence that might have been lacking, you know, in a different situation.
You know, you talk about Rick Nash. I often think that he, just because he played in Columbus for quite a while, no one really, I don't think, gave him the respect he deserved as a player. Is that a fair comment from you being a former teammate?
Yeah, I think he was so undervalued and underrated because of where he played. His ability to skate and handle the puck and the size that he was. You could just tell it was a tough load for any defenseman to handle every night. And what he single-handedly did here in Columbus, the teams were pretty thin when he was here, and then the numbers he'd put up and the accolades that he earned was pretty impressive.
Mark Letestu joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Now, Scott Arneil was the coach when you first got to Columbus. Then I think he got let go, and Richards came in. You've had a lot of different coaches in your time, Mark. Was there one that stood out for you really positive, or maybe one that you stood out negatively?
Well, Todd Richards, who you mentioned there, it's kind of a unique case for me because he was my head coach in Wilkes-Barre when I told you that I was a chubby kid that couldn't keep up. So he's the guy that sent me to Wheeling. He's the guy that really had to mold some practice habits. I had some really hard meetings with him about work ethic and what he thought I was scared. And it was just, none of it was personal. Again, yeah. Like when you talk about coaches, I've never had a coach that his success wasn't tied to mine. My best interest, I feel, was always at their hands. And he was the right guy at the right time to give me some hard lessons. So by the time I got to Columbus, he got to see a different player. And I think that's, our relationship got a lot better. My habits were better. I was in shape. I was contributing. So he was a guy that really leaned on me then after that, because he knew kind of where I'd come from and how hard I'd worked. So it was good for me to get him. But there's not a coach I didn't play for that I didn't take something from. They all had the time for me. They all tried to make me better, even in spite of my shortcomings as a player. So I give all my coaches a lot of credit.
Mark Letestu joined us, a longtime NHLer. Mark, take us through the process that led to you returning to Edmonton, played for the Oilers for 3 years.
Yeah, free agency is it's a funny thing sometimes. Only had to really experience it a few times. That was probably the only time where I thought for sure I was going to get a job, but I didn't know where or who or for how long. So you go through that whole interview process, and I think fairly early in it, we knew it was going to be Edmonton. There was a couple teams. I know Anaheim was one that was really involved. And when you're making family decisions, sometimes it's best to leave out that the Sunshine and Disneyland are the other option. It's just when hockey's involved, you try to explain the opportunity and where things fit, and but the Sunshine and Disneyland were a really big pull for the family, so I probably tore everybody's heart out that day going back home. But it turned out to be one of those decisions that, even her and I have talked about it here. The most fun we've had playing hockey was coming home, and it turned out to be a pretty good decision for us.
Well, you started early in your career with Sidney Crosby, then you come in and you sign as a free agent, and, Connor McDavid comes in as a raw rookie, 18-year-old kid. Your first season was the same first season as him, and then you guys, of course, made the playoffs together in 2016-2017, where you outscored him in the playoffs. But what was your first impressions of McDavid as, maybe so much different, because you mentioned Crosby had already won a cup and everything like that, but, McDavid came in the league, and I don't know if they had ever seen anyone who could stick handle as fast, as skate as fast McDavid combined.
Yeah, he was on a different level. There's too many superlatives that you can attach to it. For how advanced he was, skill-wise, he matched it with maturity. And I don't know if that's because the spotlight had been on him for so long. We all knew he was coming, probably a couple years before his draft year. But again, to see his progression, I when I got to see Sid, it was a finished project. But I got to see Connor kind of come into the league and figure out how good he was, and then get injured and see him work back, and then be the captain and have to figure out how to be the captain when you can't even legally buy drinks in the U.S. for your teammates. And you're telling these older guys where that, like, so it was just fun to see him figure out who he was as a hockey player and where he fit in the room and how he was going to handle his teammates. And like everything else he does, he's passing with flying colors, and he seems to be getting better at it all the time.
Talk a little bit about that run you had. You guys was getting all the way to the second round, and you know, quite arguably should have won that series against the Ducks.
Yeah, that's among my most special moments. I was in the building, I think game four for the last time they were in the playoffs. So I got to see the let's get electric and the pump it, and I seen what the city was like when that happened. So for me to get back to that point, it was just special. That first game, the ovation just for warm ups was worth it. Was worth grinding through the year before, and then personally to go on the run I went on. It's just sometimes you get hot at the right time. You're playing with the right people and you get the right bounces. You know, I think 2-goal game in Anaheim, I think I shot the puck a combined 6 feet. I was just in the right spot for 2 goals. It's just one of those things where you're just in the right spot and things get hot and you get rolling. And, it's too bad it couldn't have gone further. We would have liked to have had a shot at Nashville, but they'd had our number all year. So who knows how it would have went.
Yeah, Mark Letesta joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And then Mark, of course, after you leave Edmonton, you get traded, and then you sign in Winnipeg, and then unfortunately you have the heart issues. Tell us where you're at physically right now. Everything good?
Oh yeah, I got cleared in February last year. All the inflammation caused by virus, myocarditis, it's called. It's gone now. Everything was cleared in February, which was awesome. I got back to full health and full strength, and would have been an option had it have gotten that far down the line for the playoffs. But it's tough, I think, to put a guy in the lineup that hasn't played in 6 months, hasn't scored a goal since 2018. It's tough to put him in over maybe a young guy who's hungry or who's been there, through the chase. And, I understand that completely.
Mark, everyone's career ends and your ended just, even the greatest. What do you got any plans now for the future? Anything you're thinking about maybe getting involved in hockey or outside of hockey?
Well, I certainly want to stay in hockey. I think that was part of the decision to retire. Pretty clear trajectory on my career, heading in the wrong direction. You might be able to hang on for a year playing the minors and be the old guy to share stories with the road beers. But, I decided to just be, maybe change that trajectory and go on the way up. Maybe as whether you're working in development or in scouting whatever job kind of comes out of it, that's the kind of position I eventually see myself in, and hopefully working my way through the league.
Well, Mark, it's always great to catch up with you, man. Fantastic journey through the Junior B to Junior A to college to the AHL and to the NHL for a long time. And happy to hear you and Brett are doing great in Columbus, and hopefully we see you in hockey very soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again, guys.